Sorry about the delousing, Rod. It's standard procedure.
It's powdered sugar.
The lice hate the sugar. Listen, Rod.
It's delicious.
Good. Good.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The soundtrack, kindly produce a sound. Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Koontz. So great to be back with you again on another episode of the Homemade Broadcast. Heard every Sunday 6:15 on Radio St. Pete, Monday 10:15 p.m., and Tuesday early morn 4:15 a.m. It's a cool thing about being on an online station, right? Is 4:15 a.m. You're global. So that's like prime time somewhere in the world. In Spain, maybe. Maybe England. Maybe that's a good time to listen. I wonder if anybody listens in Europe. I know that Radio St. Pete has a big following in like Germany, which is kind of weird. I don't know how that picks up. I think we get a lot of German tourists that come over to St. Pete. I think a lot of Germans visit this area for some reason, I don't know. I guess the great beaches, that's about it, I guess, is the great beaches. They say that these beaches are the best. Every year they come out with these lists and they talk about how great the beaches are here. And I guess they're nice. Maybe I'm just spoiled. But I see these pictures of like Caribbean beaches or like Hawaiian beaches, Australian beaches. They look nicer to me. I don't know, but I guess maybe it's continental United States. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's boring. So, yes, welcome to another edition of the Homemade Broadcast. My name is Will Koontz. There are ways to get in touch with the show. Maybe you're living in Germany and you want to leave a voicemail for the program here. You can call and you can leave a voicemail or you can leave a text message, too, I found out. So do that, 813-693-2124. I'd imagine that standard messaging rates apply, I'm assuming. Don't know for sure. It's probably free. There's pretty much no such thing as, like, phone plans anymore. You don't have long distance or anything. Everybody has a phone in their pocket now. Everything's included. I guess, like, if you're in the continental United States, you can call wherever you want, probably even Canada too, right? I don't know. I don't know how that works. This program is brought to you by Sly Bar. Check out the open mic, the comedy open mics every second and fourth Tuesday of the month. It's a lot of fun. We're going to do some, supposedly, some drink specials and food specials coming up real soon. But check out Sly Bar. They got food now. They got great beers. I love those guys. They're very supportive of this year's show and comedy here in the Tampa Bay area. So check them out. 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Slybar.com. So check them out, as well as the newest sponsor, Truvy Salon and Spa. I hustled Chrissy Parker into sponsoring this program. I love Chrissy, though. She's awesome. She's great. Check her out at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. That's right here in St. Petersburg. Make an appointment, 727-329-9751. Truvy Salon Spa. Thank you. I still feel sick. I got sick a couple weeks ago. and never fully recovered. I'm not sure what's going on. I stopped smoking cigarettes. I picked that up again, reluctantly. Kyle Roos, terrible influence, local comic, tattoo artist, terrible influence on me. So I started smoking cigarettes last year again. And then I was like, I got to stop this. This is, first of all, it's a lot of money, $7, $8 a pack for a pack of cigarettes, and it's terrible. You're paying to kill yourself. It's a stupid idea. I've been smoking, though, off and on since I've been 12 years old. I used to steal cigarettes from grandma, and I couldn't find a lighter. I used to just pretend to smoke them and then break them and throw them away. So that started at an early age, and then once I became a teenager, hung out with some kids that were not bad influences, but we would just smoke cigarettes because it was a rebellious thing to do. And ever since then, it's been a constant battle. You never quit smoking, right? You never quit. You stop for a period of time, and hopefully it's your last one for many, many years. But I found this pattern of mine, which is stop for a few years and then get back on them for a year and then stop for a few years, and it's been like that for many years. So this time I decided that... it's tough, too, at the open mics, right? Because you got two mics that we run, the Sly Bar one every second and fourth Tuesday, and then every week at Yard of Ale, the Art of Laughs with John Jacobs. By the way, check out hmbradio.com/events for info on that, and facebook.com/hmbradio. Sorry. So back to the cigarettes. I decided I need to have some sort of aid, and now they have these e-cigs, which are stupid-looking. You can't look cool smoking an e-cig. It's got a little light on the end that I hide. What I do is I palm it. So I like take it like you're doing an alligator thing with your hand, right? And I just do that and then puff on it so the light doesn't go, so people don't know I'm smoking an e-cig. It's the fedora for the mouth is the joke, right? And it kind of is. There's a certain folk that vape, and I'm not one of those. I just do it because I don't want to smoke. But I still feel bad. I at the open mic, you know, you're boozing or whatever, and I don't even want a cigarette anymore. But I like the e-cig thing now. So I smoked a whole disposable one. I get these ones called Enjoy. N-J-O-Y. I like those. Those are good. I have a good experience with those. But they're 300 drags and puffs or whatever. And then you just throw them away, which I like. You don't have to charge them and do all that dumb stuff. But I feel like it's supposed to be better for you, right? But I don't know. I feel bad. I smoked a whole one of those last night at the open mic at Sly Bar throughout the evening in a couple hours, and my ear is all clogged up. My throat hurts. I feel generally malaised. And I know they don't really know too much about these things. It's got to be better than a cigarette, right? Just because you're not smoking tree. You're not burning carbon plant-based material. It's just vapor. But what's in the vapor? It's a mystery. And I wonder if it's that much better for you. It's got to be better, but maybe not much better. I don't know. That's all I got this week. I don't want to talk politics. The Pokemon thing is going on. All my friends are playing it. Kevin's playing it. Nonstop. He's got his phone out constantly whenever we hang out. It's super annoying, but I'm also kind of interested in it. I kind of like watching him play it. I don't want to play it, but I think it's kind of cool just watching the mixed virtual reality and regular reality combine. I forget what they call it. But also they steal, I was reading, they collect like all your Google information, and then I think Nintendo stock went up $9 billion in a week, or the company gained $9 billion. It's like a 33% increase in their total revenue or worth. That's crazy, man. And that's all just data mining. You're giving them your personal life, and they sell it to companies to market to you. You're the product now. They used to sell you products. Now you, as a human being, and your behavior is a product. Isn't that weird? Doesn't that seem like 1984 George Orwell type of stuff happening? People use that analogy all the time, but this is one of those things, right? You're commerce. You're not even a person anymore. So I'm glad I'm not into this stuff, because it looks cool, And I thought about doing it, even though it's totally dorky. But I'm not beyond doing dorky things, okay? I'm just glad that I don't want anything to do with this. Let's just put it that way. But Nintendo made a fortune, made a killing. Good for them, I guess. Yeah, good for you guys. And people are getting, you know, stopping in the road. I heard somebody saying, overhearing, that somebody stopped in the middle of the road to catch a Pokemon. I'm wondering if this technology it's cool, but are human beings smart enough, the majority of the population, to use this responsibly? There's drones walking around, kids on their phones, adults on their phones, looking, not obeying crosswalks, not obeying intersections, loitering, trespassing late at night. I don't know if human beings are responsible enough for this type of technology. And you know somebody's going to die soon. That's just going to happen. Somebody is going to get run over by a car or something. And I can't wait, personally. No, that's going to be terrible. People are stupid. That's what it comes down to. I was talking to my boss about this the other day, too. With politics, it seems obvious to me, a lot of these things. Not that I'm a genius by any means. In fact, I've said it many times, I'm pretty dumb. But I'm smart enough to know that I'm dumb on most things. Dumb people have the most confidence you'll ever meet. They have the most bravado, the elitism that stupid people have is amazing. And I don't even think when people do things that it's out of maliciousness. I think they're just stupid. And I think that's also how psychopaths think, though, too. So maybe I'm a psychopath. Don't know. I guess I have to accept it. So this week on the show is a comedian in the area. The best beard. I thought Matt Fernandez had a good beard. This dude, Jorge. So we call him Jorge sometimes. We call him George sometimes. I think it's one of those things with me. I'm going to ask him. Like, some people are like, do you go by Will, Bill? Doesn't matter. Whatever you want. So sometimes we call him Jorge. Sometimes we call him George. Jorge Gonzalez is going to be on. He swings by a lot of mics. Big pothead. So I imagine we'll talk about that. And what his name. What he likes to be called. And, yeah. So that's the show this week. Jorge Gonzalez coming up next. Through the magic of radio, I'll be back now. You won't even know I'm gone. When I pause it and come back, it's going to be seamless. But I will talk to you in 0.2 seconds. Jorge, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
So I was saying before, I was recording a little bit, sometimes we call you George, sometimes we call you Jorge. Is there one that you prefer?
George, probably just because I'm more Americanized than I am Cuban.
Okay.
When you say Jorge, automatically people try to speak Spanish to you. Like, I deal with that problem where my first job, 13 years old, working at Winn-Dixie, nameplate, you know, saying Jorge, automatically just people just start Spanish.
And do you know Spanish?
Very little.
Okay.
Like, I understand it more than I speak it, and that's the problem, is that I can know what they're saying, but it's like I just give them that stupid face.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a Spanish name and you don't know Spanish, Spanish people hate you. Like, they will hate you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I normally stay away from that.
Here, pull that really close to your face there. There we go. That's better. Yeah, cool. Perfect.
But, yeah, and I forgot who gave me the advice to go by Jorge on stage, just because it's kind of get away with a little bit more.
Yes,
you know,
most definitely.
They say I look Spanish, but some people could still say I look white.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, forget it. You know, I'll just go by Jorge. Jorge Gonzalez, it's a really Spanish name. So
yeah,
you know,
you kind of look like just like a white dude.
Yeah,
though, with a really great beard.
Thank you. Yeah.
Best beard that a comic has. I thought Matt Fernandez had a good one.
Yeah,
I saw yours.
It's funny. We I've met Matt for the first time at James Joyce not too long ago, and we had a little moment about beards. I'm like, yeah, I get confused for you sometimes. People, you know, definitely not for the stand up, but just you know, fat pudgy guy with a. With a beard.
Terrific beard, yeah.
His is nice, too, yeah.
He's got a good one rocking there. He's got a little bit of the red, too, which I like.
Yeah, and me,
He's Fernandez, too. I guess he's Spanish.
Yeah, he's definitely got something.
The Spanish Reds, you see those from time to time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Cubans, you go to Cuba, you'll see blonde-haired, blue-eyed Cubans.
Really?
Like, it's crazy. There's the dark, black-looking ones, and then there's the very American-looking one, but...
That's what it's like Spanish. All over South. Well, like Brazil, you'll have like black Brazilians, and then you have people with red hair that are Brazilian.
Yeah, all of them. I feel like every Spanish heritage has that thing about it. Like there's no one look.
All the conquistadors rolling through. Yeah, mating with the natives.
Yes, that's but not a lick of English though you'll get from them. But they definitely look it though.
Yeah. So George is a comic in the area. Obviously, I don't know if I mentioned that in the pre-show, but how long have you been doing stand-up around here?
Probably about 2 years now. I started in 2013, was the first time, but like most people, I started doing it for about 4 months, then started working two jobs at that time and never had time to, always too tired or something like that to go out. So I took like about 7-8 months off. And then got back into it now for at least twice a week going up for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah. Where did you first do it at?
Side Splitters.
Okay, that's a good place, I think.
Yeah, it was, and that's all I did for like the first 4 months was that spot, you know, and then...
Was that because you didn't know of any others? Or
kind
because...
of, and the improv was intimidating to me in the beginning, like it's an improv. You know?
Uh-huh.
And now it's almost like it's nothing, you know, that name. But, yeah, Side Splitters was cool. I don't really go there too often anymore because it's twice a month now, and it's just...
Is it? I thought it was every Sunday.
No, it's only twice a month.
Oh.
It's always been like
and
that.
And then you got a line, too, right?
The line, but at least now it's a little bit easier. I know the host and stuff. Elijah sometimes, you know, runs it and stuff. So I'm able, if I just show up there, I might be able to get up or at least just write my name for the next list.
Right.
And stuff, so I don't have to wait. Because I remember when I first signed up, I was ready to go, you know, my first time. I've been freaking waiting for a year to do it. And then when I finally went to sign up, they're like, oh, yeah, your date is June 7th. And I signed up in, like, March. I was like, oh, all right.
Great. Well,
if anything, it was, okay, fine. That's fine. I'll wait a little bit longer, you know, get my nerves up a little bit more.
Right. So how'd you do? What was your first time like?
First time was actually decent, which was a good thing because I probably would have never done it again if it was as bad. Because, it went decent, so I kept doing it, and then it was, like, my third time is when I really bombed. It was, and of course, I got both of those videos, you know, because Side Splitters, you're able to buy their videos and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So the first one, I'm like, yeah, I bought that one. Yeah, I did well. Yeah, this is me. I could do this.
Uh-huh.
But then that third time, I'm like, yeah, I'll buy it, whatever, $25. Yeah, this is for my future, and then it was just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. But I kept it. It was learning. I look back at it every once in a while and stuff. It's funny because my dad saw the video. Because back then I used his computer. So I guess he saw that I uploaded it and he watched it. And he was very scared about what I chose to do with my life. Because it was so bad. Because he came to my the showcase that I had in March at the improv on the main stage. And he told me, he's like, after, you know, I did good. He's like, man, I was scared. Like, you invited the whole family. You did everything. And the last time I saw you do it, it was awful. Like, well, yeah, that was my fourth time ever doing it. You haven't noticed I'm leaving the house freaking four times a week. You have to watch my son all the time.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, if I didn't get better, I should probably give up and just dedicate my life to cleaning pools. But
I think there's a misconception that civilians, as they're called, non-comedians, think that you just – are good immediately. And, like, if you're a comedian, you're funny all the time. Yeah. And even, like, real comedians, I would imagine, real comedians like, you know, Louis, the Bill Burrs, they bomb, too. Oh. I mean, when they work on stuff, they're not 100% all the time. But they also have the name recognition, so people are more on alert to laugh and more willing to laugh.
They give them a longer leeway.
Definitely.
And stuff. And that's what kind of got me into comedy, because growing up, I used to like it, not a huge fan of it, but when I used to watch the Chris Rock ones, they were very popular. I used to think these guys were, everything was on the spot. Like, these guys were just doing an hour of just
improv
freestyle
off the top of their head. Yeah.
Well, me, big in the rap when I was in it, so I'm like, yo, these guys are just freestyling funny right now. So it wasn't until, that's what got me into it, was like depression plus podcasts, like, I remember Rogan's podcast really, like, I found the ins and outs of comedy when he would have, you know, comics on there like Burr and all these guys talking about writing and how long it takes for a joke to work and, you know, just everything. So I'm like, dang, like, it sounded more interesting to me. Like, I might be able to do it. So then that's when that plus depression and alcohol and all this stuff, like, I'm like, frig it, I'm going to do it, you know? Yeah. Like, I tried it now, fell in love with it.
That's one of those cool things that podcasts are able to do. They provide accessibility to people who may not be as accessible. I mean, you put yourself on a web, you have a website, but if you're talking for an hour, you are going to come out. And that's why I like doing these too, for local folks, is to not only show what you can do. I don't like when comics come in here and run bits. Most don't, but some do. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. JB Ball came in and ran bits the whole time. And I was like, oh, I want to talk to you, dude.
Well, he's probably used to doing, like, the media and stuff. Like, he's used to doing the radio show, like, if he goes on the road and stuff like that. So I figure he's probably used to that format that they do. You always hear the professionals talk about, like, how media just sucks and having to do the promotions, waking up at 6 in the morning to promote the show that night, how much it sucks because it's, you know, they want normally the hosts want you to do bits and stuff, but they're like, no, man, let's just talk, you know, just talk, you know, and that's where podcasts came in and took that.
You know what I thought it more was than anything? That he didn't want anybody to know who he was.
Maybe that, yeah.
Maybe he didn't like who he was. I don't know. That's all speculation on my end.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't want people to get to know you.
I mean, I'm an open book. You can have, I mean, just today on stage, I opened up some stuff, you know, that it wasn't until recently I've been like this, you know, past few years that I'm just like, look, I used to be a huge liar growing up, like high school. I mean, I remember lying and say I lost my virginity at 12,
mm-hmm.
and really I lost it at 14, mm-hmm. which really wasn't a big deal, but I remember...
Still pretty good, man.
It's still
good
pretty,
for you.
Not bad, right? But the girl I lost my virginity to doesn't know I lost my virginity to her. She thought I was already... So it's like, trying to find her on Facebook, like, to tell her the truth and stuff, like, almost like AA type stuff. Like, look, I got something to tell you. Because, I mean, I used to lie about everything when I was younger, so... Now
I think
just
we
like,
all did. I mean,
yeah. And I hated that part of me because people didn't know who I really was. And now I was like, I'm just going to, anything you ask me, you might not want to know the answer.
Right.
And if you get me drunk, yeah, I'll definitely. Some of my friends call me TMI because I'll tell you too much. You know?
Same here. You have to get comfortable with yourself. And, you know, everybody says that you have to be honest with yourself, be truthful with yourself. I think that's very true. But, yeah, I guess you can let a lot slip, too. How much is too much? Is there too much?
To me, there's not. But I understand to some people, it's like, I don't want to hear about you messing with trannies or anything. Like, you know, let's just leave me out of that, you know. Yeah. But sorry, dude. Let's just – if something comes up, it's like, hey, yeah, I did that or I did – it's just – I'm very open. And at least with women, they like it for the most part until I get – too open.
That's who I struggle being honest with.
Really?
And it's not that I don't lie, but there's a thing called lying by omission, right? Where you just leave things out, which is still a lie. Is it, though? I don't know. I don't know the rules. You're not under oath.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've straight up lied and said I didn't have a kid, you know, before, you know, like this tattoo on my hand, you know, the tattoo on my handprint, you know, my son's handprint, it's I just lied and said it was something else.
Which you know, say it was?
I think before I said it was my handprint, like how, you know, egotistical that is. Like, I got my baby
you got
handprint.
Your own baby you know, just handprint that,
just
on your
to,
hand?
Just so I didn't say I had a kid. Like, I didn't want to be locked because she didn't have a kid, and that was when I first was newly single and everything. I'm like, no, I don't want to be wrapped into that. Like, but now I was like, no, it's...
Just is what it is.
Yeah. It's,
that's what the running joke is that comedy is free therapy.
Yes.
Because if you go, have you ever been to therapy?
No.
Okay. I grew up in therapy.
Really?
Yeah.
Parents or something with a...
Yeah. A child of divorce, unstable home life in general. Not bad childhood, just stuff happened.
Yeah.
I grew up in therapy. And pretty much you just spill your guts. That's all it is. And they just want you to talk. And usually when you get it out, you tend to feel better. And you're honest with who you're with, but you're more honest with yourself. I think that's what therapy is. So comedy is a great aspect for that. And if you can exaggerate some truth, that usually is what makes it funny.
Yeah.
And truth is way more funnier than anything you're going to make up fiction. Yeah.
And that's something I learned in the beginning of comedy. Like, yeah, when I first started, I did the hacky jokes of, you know, being fat and doing all that stuff. But now it's just, I just talk, because it is who I am. I am a fat guy. But yeah. Nobody wants to hear it. It's, I get a little deeper now than on who I really am. So, and I feel like that's so much better. Like, I got the best compliment the other day from a friend that I do comedy with, too, and Choquette. He told me, he's like, yeah, man, you're one of the honest guys on stage. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'd rather be the funny guy, but honest is cool, too. You know, at least you know, at least I'm not up there, you know, being somebody else.
Right.
Who I am on stage is pretty much who I am off stage. A little bit exaggerated on stage, of course, but it's pretty much who I am.
So is that kind of I guess it takes time to make that happen, because you said you weren't doing that initially.
Oh, yeah, no. It took, like, a bad breakup. You know,
yes, that'll do it.
Yeah, bad.
There's three things that you need to do to become a man. Four things.
Yeah.
You gotta get your heart broken. You have to break somebody's heart. You have to be in a fight, and ideally, you get beat up once too.
Yes.
Those are the four things that it takes to be a man.
Yep. Been stabbed. Been shot at by my son's mother.
Whoa. She
comes into heartbreak, but it was real bad, but. Like
you
I
got
said,
stabbed
I,
by the
well, yeah,
by
I,
lady
well, no,
too?
Oh, no. That was I was 17. Version? Yeah, I was 17. Okay. I was gangs, crap, and all that stuff. But that was a fun time. But it was, like I said, it was a different person. And then after the breakup, it was, you know, you had the family. It was with my son's mother. So I had a family, and then that got broken up. And it was just, boozing from wake up to, you know, go to bed type of thing. It was just beer during the day, alcohol at night. Type I had a system that I just came out of it. Like, I was a very serious person. That's why people, when they found out I started doing stand-up, like, what? Like, you're Mr. Serious all the time.
Like it you shakes say, your
it
foundation.
Takes, like you said, yeah, it totally shook me. I mean, I turned atheist. I did a bunch of stuff in this, like, three-year period of just completely turned, which was a good thing. I definitely like the person I am now better than who I was.
Right.
But it definitely, that breakup stuff, definitely helped me find the funny and stuff that I used to not think was funny.
Yeah.
And stuff. It just going to the point of like, I don't think I can ever get worse than this. So like, forget, just, you know, laugh at everything. And now that's pretty much how I do it now. And it's great.
I'm scared to say that because I know it can always be worse.
Yeah.
But I've been down in the dumps really bad. I thought I was going to be homeless a couple times. I was getting ready to go live in my car a few times. I don't know what it is with me. I always have something happens where I always manage to squeeze by. Yeah. It's been desperate times, so I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's God or whatever it is,
but
something just gets me through at all times.
Oh,
it's awesome.
I believe that 100%. I mean, like I said, yeah, I'm atheist, but there's got to be something looking out for me. I mean, I was in a gang for 2 years. I did a bunch of stuff. I've been pulled over with stolen guns. I mean, drugs in the car, they searched the car, but they didn't search the one spot where the gun was before.
Whoa.
I mean, I've been so lucky.
What gang were you part of?
It's a folk nation.
Okay.
It was
a
part of folk nation or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And not, you know, everybody knows Bloods, Crips, and all that good stuff, but
you saw a lot of that. I remember you would see a lot of gang graffiti, even around Largo, Clearwater area.
I can't wait for it to rain again because I forget to always take a picture of it because there's a tagging that me and my friends did right next to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I did it when I was 17, 28 now, and they never changed the fence. That tells you how my neighborhood is. But it's like every time it rains, it pops out more. So I want to, like, take a picture and just because I'm reminded about it every single day now. About that past that I had and stuff, and it's pretty funny seeing that crap. But yeah,
how did you find your way to out of that?
It was,
or is it just kind of like turned, your friends, and then you just kind of grew
it
out
turned
of
it? At one point, yeah, it was real serious and stuff like that. But it started to break up. Like, people started sleeping with each other's girls and doing all this stuff. I mean, at one point, we were like 50 deep in a, you know, rented out a place, and we would just smoke, drink. I mean, everything. It was a great time. That's what was fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole camaraderie thing, which is why I still love comedy, because there's also a little brotherhood
Definitely.
Thing there. So that's why I felt attached to this. But, like, that, it got to a point where just even within the gang, there was gangs. And then the one dude went to jail. Never heard from him. The one guy that was keeping everything together, he went to jail. This guy joined another gang. This guy joined. And it's just, I got my, you know, I got a girl pregnant. So I was like, I'm out. Like, it just kind of was smooth. Even the rivals were breaking up. And it was, I mean, it's Tampa. So it's not right. the most serious place on earth. You know, it's not L.A. It's the whole blood in, blood out thing. It was fun.
It's more like neighborhood.
Exactly.
Gangs.
It was
like
just
the ones you think you hear about on National Geographic.
Yeah, exactly. It's not gangland. Yeah. You know, it wasn't Chicago, you know, in Chirac or nothing like that. But it was, I mean,
still
it was
crazy,
to,
though.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
it was
pretty wild.
Like I said, it got crazy, you know, a couple nights. Excuse me. And
did you have a rival?
Lang
gang?
Kings.
Lang
Kings was
okay.
a direct rival, which my neighborhood was full of.
Mm-hmm.
Which I grew up with them. Like, I grew up with these kids. So that's why my Kings weren't really the main rival. I more had problems with Bloods for some reason, because at school I got kicked out of the school I was at, but everybody else was still there, so there was a lot of crap talking and doing all that good stuff, and it was mainly with the Bloods. Kings, they kind of were cool with me, because like I grew up with them. It was like
right.
I mean, we had to fight a couple times, but it was like it wasn't too crazy. They were kind of mad, like, damn, George, like, why you gotta do that, you know, why you gotta join them and all that and stuff. And you know, just when they say it, I'll just throw down their gang sign and stuff and just start, you know, it got real stupid, but it was fun while it was 17 to 19 years old. Like, that's what else can
that's
you ask for?
That's the time to do it, I guess.
What else can you ask for? Like, just partying all the time. I mean, women or girls, I wouldn't like to say women, but just girls all the time. I mean, the girls that love the bad boys at that age, girls love bad boys. So what's better than a gang member? You know,
yeah,
like
totally.
It was fun. But I'm just like, to go back, I'm just like, I never got arrested. I've never been arrested, still to this day.
Good for you,
like,
man.
And I still drive with weed all the time. I mean, I got pulled over with 6 grams of Molly not too long ago.
Oh, my God.
And it was
scary. You look white, though, so they're probably just like,
but yeah. I remember the time I had still the dealer in the car with me, and he was black.
Uh-huh.
It was just like that I was able to keep my cool and everything. I was in the projects. The whole reason why I got pulled over is because I forgot to put my lights on.
Oh, Jesus.
In the projects. Like,
yeah.
They're looking for reasons to pull people over. And
sure.
What a pretty. But I kept my cool, everything. I shoved the bag I had, like, tried to shove it all up in my nutsack, just make it as hard as possible for somebody to find it. And they never even searched, nothing like that. And another way I got lucky is that dude, I've worked with him a lot, you know, the dealer guy. And after every transaction, we normally smoke a blunt. He forgot his blunts that night. If he wouldn't have, we would have got pulled over while smoking.
Because
mm-hmm. he always, it's always like a little thing of his after every time. So I got, that was another lucky moment that I would have got not only driving with weed, smoking in the car, but 6 counts of manslaughter as well.
Because
that's what that was considered.
Yeah.
Well, it still is considered.
Right,
as
right,
Molly.
Right.
So I don't mess with that no more.
Because yeah.
Like I said, it's like you can't push it too much. You can't push it. You're eventually going to get caught doing something.
Yeah, that's
so
why
I always
drinking and driving.
Yeah,
because
I know
I got away with murder.
I gotta stop doing that, too. And I'm never drunk, but I know nowadays you just have 2 or 3 beers,
yep.
and that's it. You're done.
Right.
So just like tonight, I had 2 beers for free, but that's the only reason why I had them. Because one, after my set, some couple bought me a drink, and then the bartender, the one I got, he said, oh, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, sweet. But, yeah, I got to stop doing that. Just leaving Sly Bar last night, I had my whole rig, my dab rig, my bong and everything with me in the car, and I was smoking. I smoked right before I left, and I just put the bong in my book bag and just
yeah.
took all drove away like that. So I still do stupid stuff, but I figured it's
not as much.
Yeah. And since I chose comedy as my career path, I figured whatever, get arrested for weed, it's not gonna ruin my life, you know. So. That's why I got an ear tattoo now, too. So it's like, I don't really have to worry. I hope I don't have to worry about interviews too much.
Right.
I hope this shit works out. If not, yeah, we're We're screwed.
Yeah, with the ear tattoos.
Or it's going to be pools for the rest of my life because that's what I do during the day. So,
if you're just joining us on Radio St. Pete, we have criminal comedian George Gonzalez on air. So you're doing, you have your day job. So what's the, is there a strategy for you? Do you have a five-year plan?
I try not to look too far, but yeah, of course, you know, I have a son, so I have to, you know, I have to kind of look ahead. If I didn't, yeah, I would be couch surfing people. I would be that guy. But I'm hoping in 5 years I could hopefully pay the bills with comedy.
Or do you want to stay somewhere. Here, or do you want to
yeah,
go somewhere?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be moving anytime. I mean, hopefully I'm headlining and doing that stuff by then that I might be able to have some credential to go somewhere else. You know, I know, you know, my friend Joe Rigger, he just moved to Philly, mm-hmm. you know, going out there. And I think he just posted something today or something talking about, I used to be a big fish in a little pond, but now I'm just a piece of trash in a
small
huge
piece
dumpster.
Of trash in a big yeah. dumpster. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a perfect analogy for what it's like to go to LA and New York and all these places.
Yeah.
Being in, from Tampa and a small circle, but it's, I love the scene out here though, and I feel like it's getting better. John Jacobs is out here doing the thing. He's helping us out a lot. Like just today, it was nice to have a different open mic besides the improv.
Right.
Having to deal with the improv on Wednesdays, it's getting rough.
Yeah, I mean that's where you need to be. Unfortunately, yeah. You have to be doing the club open mics yeah. to potentially get work if that's what you want to do. It's a bummer because they're kind of Nazis about it too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm lucky. Tony God, man, he's cool. He's always been cool to me, at least. Like, you know, I just got put on the Sunday Funnies August 13th. You know, I'm not trying to plug anything, but I just found out
no,
today.
No, please do.
And you know, Zach Townsend, he's going to be on the show as well and stuff. It's August. It was supposed to be. That was a show that the Dubliner was supposed to be last month. Got canceled, so he gave us another show, which is on the Improv. Which I'm like, heck yeah.
That's better.
Heck yeah. I love that stage. That stage is, I've only been on it twice, but it's just such a, it's, I don't know, those lights and looking
it's
up.
A club.
Looking,
it's a real
yeah,
deal.
Just looking up at a, you know, at an empty upper deck, but at least you're looking up at.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day you can fill that up there. You know,
you can fill it up in your mind.
Exactly. Exactly.
When you're performing. That's still really cool.
Yeah.
Though,
yeah. It was amazing. So I can't wait to do it again. I'm so hyped for that. Like, yeah. So. But yeah, as a five-year plan, it's just hopefully I'm not cleaning pools, and I'm just doing something with comedy or something. I'd rather work at the Improv if I'm able to pay my bills. The only thing with that, I don't want to do that now because that's gonna ruin the open mics and stuff that I would be able to go do.
Yeah,
because that's what I always see, like everybody that works at Side Splitters and stuff. It seems like they're limited to when they can go do open mics.
Definitely.
And I'm like, nah, I can't do that to myself. I'm definitely not good enough that I could just only do two nights a week. You know, and
I
think I'm gonna get better.
Yelling at I think it was Kupo the other day about, it's like, dude, go get a bartending or a bar backing job. And then I was like, wait, that would be terrible yeah. for you because you got to. Well, there's no day open mics.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to be out, and you'd have to get a day job for that.
Yeah, yeah. That's why. I mean, I got it. I got it pretty sweet right now. My boss is real cool. You know, like if I stay out late, I could just text him like, hey, I'm coming in an hour later. You know, stayed out late. He kind of, you know, influences the whole thing of like, hey, yeah, chase your dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do
that's
that. So
very
that's,
nice to
yes,
have.
Which is, and he's cool, man, about, you know, drinking and, you know, doing all that stuff. You know, if we get rained out at night, hey, we'll go back to the shop, drink some beer. You know, that's it's a sweet, I got a sweet little gig. I wish it was paid more, but I'm not complaining too much.
I got the same thing going.
Yeah.
They're like, I only get paid a certain amount of money, which is not, it's enough for me to live, but not much else, you know. But I have the freedom to come and go as I please. And they're super supportive and psyched for me. They're yeah. like, they want me to do this stuff.
And that's almost seems, that means more than money. Like,
yeah.
It's.
You either have the time or the money. You yeah. don't have both.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, some people have the luxury of maybe they came in some money or something like that so they could pursue their dream a little bit easier, you know, than me that I only got a certain amount of money in my pocket at every time. So.
What do you think of these GoFundMe things? What's your opinion of them?
I'm not against them, but I just, it depends what it's for, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, some people use it for just ridiculous. Like, I think I got one today about saving a dog or something like that, which I mean, hey, it's cool, but I'm sorry, I got more important things. Yeah. You know? Like, one of my friend's dog, he just found out he had a tumor. Might have to put the dog down. I feel horrible for him and stuff, but he's not asking me for money or nothing right. like that. And that's one of my best friends. I love that man, and I love his dog, but I think he's at the same level as me. It's like, I'm not going to ask somebody to save my dog's life. You right. know? And it's an old dog as well, so it's
yeah, it's like, but, what do you want?
I mean, it's
some of the stuff's crazy. I can't believe that people have the gall to ask for some of the things they ask for.
Yeah, I mean, just starting up companies and all that stuff. And all, it's like, unless it's something, like, I remember that one kid that was, like, started a GoFundMe or something like that for turning plastic into, or turning salt water into drinkable water
mm-hmm,
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he raised over, like, $200,000 or something like that.
Didn't it end up being nonsense, though?
I think so.
See,
I heard
it's so easy
that.
To get ripped off.
Yes.
I think I've given, I even felt weird, and I was like, why did I feel weird about this? But my friend had cancer, and she wanted money for, I guess just for time off at work or something. And I gave her $10, I mean, I don't have any money.
Yeah.
So I gave her $10, but I was like, why am I giving you $10 for having cancer?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be rude, but what's going on? Well, one guy got his stuff, I hate this guy. But anyways, I don't want to get into him specifically. But he got a piece of property vandalized, and it was going to cost $500 to get it repainted. You know how much he wanted? $3,000.
Wow.
So what's the other $2,500 going for?
Upgrade it.
I guess.
Upgrade.
The gall of people.
Graffiti prevention task force, all that crap now. Like, yeah. That's.
I wanted to scream. He wanted, he did another one too, and he wanted $50,000. Because he wanted to tour across the country and get on the Ellen DeGeneres show. He used his dying grandmother in a video.
Wow.
And said, I want my grandson on Ellen DeGeneres. Can you imagine? It was so cringeworthy and so it's so phony.
Yeah, that's like me using my son, you know, to just get money. Like if I was homeless or something, like just. I've seen people do that, actually. They'll have their kids hold the sign for them, you know, out there and say, which gets me every time.
Yeah.
You know, if I got a few dollars on me, they're going to get it.
I've never seen
that. I've seen it a few times, man, especially when it was real bad a couple years ago with jobs and stuff. I saw it quite often. Actually,
it's just crazy drunks and drug addicts around here.
Oh, yeah, just today, leaving that mic over there, it's right next to that Methodist church.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
they're all over Williams Park.
It was crazy. I got somebody asked me, hey, man, can I like break dance for you for like 50 cents or something? Like,
absolutely not.
Well, if I have 50 cents, I'll just give it to you, man. I'm sorry. But just like, you know, break dance, like, dang.
I know.
It's got to be rough.
Dude, living here, I hate to be. I've gotten so callous the past few years with things in general, but the homeless down here, I asked one guy who does try to work. What could we do for you? And he was like, nothing. This is the life we choose. They're either mentally ill, drug addicts, or alcoholics.
Yeah.
The myth that there are single moms out there living in the car. Yeah, there's some. Yeah, there's two people who are like that. The rest of them are just crazy homeless people.
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, I'm a single parent, but luckily I got parents that I could live with. If I didn't have them, I got family. And there's those people out there that don't have family.
Yeah,
and stuff. But I normally go to the side of, like, yeah, they're mostly drug addicts. They're mainly mental ill.
Mentally
and stuff.
Ill. It sucks. It but sucks. There's 2% of society that can't exist. I hate to cut it off already, but we got to go, man.
Oh, no problem.
Can you give your social media, where to find you, shows, any of that stuff?
Let's see. I think my Twitter that – right now my Twitter is only mainly, like, I just live tweet events type of thing, UFC. It's hi, Jorge 467.
Okay.
High as in H-I-G-H, because, I get high.
Do I follow you on Twitter? I'll find you on there. Find me, home_made_man. Jorge, George, thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate
you. Thank you for having me, bro.
I'll check you all next week. Have a great one. Check out James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast, hmbradio.com. See ya.